Now, Paul and Silas had preached throughout the land of Phrygia. Sometimes, if you have the time and would like to do it, in the back of most Bibles is a map of Paul's missionary journeys. And you can look right there and see where we're talking about. He preached down here in Phrygia. And then he and Barnabas had had a division over John Mark. And Barnabas took John Mark and Paul took Silas. And he preached in Phrygia and in the regions of Galatia. You see it there on your map. And he would have gone to that place called Asia, right above Phrygia. He would have gone to Asia. But the Holy Spirit forbade him. Don't go to Asia. You see, we go and preach the gospel where God is pleased to have the gospel preached effectually. Brother Walter Gruber is a preacher of the grace of God ministering in the Yucatan. And he lives in Mérida, the chief city. And he goes out in his van to different places, and he may go through a dozen pueblos before he comes to one where he feels led of God to preach, where the gospel will be heard. The Holy Spirit told Paul, said, don't go to this particular place, Bithynia, don't go. So he came to this, he would don't go to Asia, and then he wanted to go to Bithynia. He said, I'll go to Bithynia. See, it's right up there a little further up above Asia. And again, the Spirit of God said, don't go. Don't go to Bithynia. So he came down here to a little seaport town called Troas. You see it there in Mysia, M-Y-S-I-A. And there's a little town called Troas on the seaport there. It was a seaport on the GNC. And while he was asleep that night, or he had a vision, and a man appeared to him in a vision and said to him, come over into Macedonia. Macedonia is right across the Aegean Sea there. See Macedonia and Thrace and Philippi and Neapolis. There were those little towns there. Come over into Macedonia. And so he went over into Macedonia, and he came down to the chief city of Macedonia. You see it there, Philippi. Later on, he wrote the epistle to the Philippians. Well, there was no synagogue in this city of Philippi. You see, this was a military town, a military city. And there were not a great number of Jews there. There had to be so many Jews in a place before they would build a synagogue. So there wasn't any synagogue there at all. But there were some women. There were some women that, how many I don't know, but there were some women who met together. Not in town. They didn't rent a building. They were down by the riverside. Some women who believed God. They hadn't heard the gospel. Didn't know anything about Christ, the gospel, the Messiah. Not a thing. This was over in Philippi, over in Europe. This is the first missionary journey into Europe. This is the first convert in Europe. And so Paul went over into Philippi, into the town of Philippi. Now imagine, here's a preacher of the gospel, here's God's apostle, who knows and loves Christ, who's been brought to the knowledge of Christ, has the gospel burning in his soul. God's committed to him the gospel. Here he is in a military town, military city, famous old city. All these things, I'm sure a very religious city, but no one knew God. And there wasn't a synagogue. Paul usually went right to the synagogue, started preaching, because he had some foundation, talked to people who knew God. And if a person could have gone through this town, he could have walked through this town 100 times. A stranger could have gone through this town 100 times and never found that little group of women. Nobody knew about them. Now, I'll tell you this, if you're looking for the gospel of grace, you'll find it. You're looking hard enough. I've heard people say, I've been in this town for a long time. I never heard of you. But if you was looking for something, you'd hear of me. Paul was looking for some people who were worshiping God. I've had people say they moved somewhere, you know, and stayed there for months and called me and said, anything in here preaching to God? Yeah, right out 30 miles from you, man, preaching to God. Well, we didn't know anything about it. You weren't looking. You weren't looking. These women were down there by the riverside worshiping God, and Paul was looking. Paul was looking for people who believed the great, who believed something about God. And he kept looking and searching, and finally he found these women down by the riverside. And he went down among them. Now, I just imagine what took place. Here's a bunch of women sitting around worshiping God, all that walking in the light they had. Here comes Paul, Silas, and Timothy, three men. And these women, you know, women had a place of real subjection then anyway. And here are these three fellas come into their midst, and they never said a word. And Paul spoke up, and he said, I'm Paul, and this is Silas, and this is Timothy. We're servants of the Most High God. He said, I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. He said, you see, I was Saul of Tarsus. I was raised Saul of Tarsus. I come from a very prominent Jewish family. My mother was a Jew, and my father was a Jew, and the ladies liked that. They loosened up a little bit then, you know. This was a Jew. This wasn't just anybody. He was a Jew. He was of them. And he said, Silas here is a Jew. Now, Timothy, his mother's a Jew, but his daddy's a Greek. But he's been circumcised. He's a believer in God. But he said, ladies, he said, and so it says here, he said, he sat down. Said Paul sat down in verse 13. On the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by the river where prayer was wont to be made. And he sat down. And he said, now, I was educated at the feet of Gamaliel. I'm a Jew. Educated. They knew of Gamaliel. Most Jews, there were two leading schools in that day. One was Gamaliel. And he said, ladies, I was a Pharisee. He said, I was a member of the Sanhedrin. Now, he's really got their attention now. Here, they didn't even have a synagogue. They didn't have a priest. They didn't have anything. All they did meet down by the river and encourage one another and look into the Word. And here is a man among them who was a member of the Sanhedrin. Here was a man who was a Pharisee. It may even be they had heard of him. I tell you, King Festus and Agrippa had heard of him. And these ladies may have heard of him. And he sits down. He says, now I'm going to talk to you. It says here that Paul sat down and spake to these women. He sat down, verse 13, and spake to these women that had come there to pray. I wonder where he started. I mulled over in my mind and tried to put myself in this position. Where did he start? Well, you know where I think he started? I think he started with God. I believe he'd say to them, ladies, Almighty God, according to Moses in Genesis 1, created the heavens and the earth. And he created them in holiness. And he said when he finished, it's good. And Almighty God created man. He created a man, he called him Adam. And he created him in his own image. He created man upright, without sin. In the image of God, he created him. And he saw it wasn't good for man to be alone, so he made him a woman. Called her name Eve. These ladies, they'd heard that, you know. They liked the sermon so far. And he said, and God put in the midst of the garden a tree. And he told Adam to rule over the garden, to multiply and replenish the earth, subdue the earth. He was king, had dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and the beast of the forest. But there was one tree in that garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He said, Adam, don't eat of it, lest you die. Now he said, God is holy. God is sovereign. God is the ruler of heaven and earth. And man is totally dependent on God in all things. And this one token or sign, as long as it stood untouched, was saying that man was willing for God to be God, willing for him to reign and willing to be in subjection to him. But he told the story of the temptation and how they fell. And he said, now judgment and death passed upon Adam and upon all his posterity. And all of the, in Adam, all died. But then he said, God Almighty, I know this, ladies. I know that God Almighty was not willing for the human race to be plunged into utter chains of darkness as he permitted the angel. But Almighty God has determined to redeem some of Adam's race, because right when Adam fell, he said to the woman and to the serpent who tempted her, he said, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. And thou shalt bruise his heel, but he'll bruise your head. He said, now, ladies, what God is saying there is that he's going to redeem out of this fallen race of people by a redeemer who would be the seed of woman, a virgin-born seed of woman. That's what God's saying. That he's not going to suffer man to go the route that the angels went. For he took not on himself the nature of angels, you see. But he's going to redeem a people. And he said, I'll show you something else God showed him while he was still in that garden. You see, Adam and Eve, realizing they were naked, realizing they had sinned in fear, had tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. They made an apron of fig leaves. And God came and took their fig leaf aprons away. Man's efforts cannot cover his guilt and sin, his nakedness. And God slew an animal. Now he said, ladies, there's a key right there. First there's announcement of the seed of woman. And then there's a slaying of that animal. Here's an innocent animal who was slain. And it had to be killed because God didn't cover them with the wool. He covered them with the skin of that animal. And the skin to come off that animal's got to shed its blood. So he said, God's saying something there that we'll learn later. But God's saying something there. And then he said, when Adam and Eve was thrown out of the garden, God put the flaming swords before the gate of the garden and said, man cannot come back in. He's separated from God. He's lost the way to God. He's lost the truth of God. And he's a dying creature. But Almighty God spoke to Adam. And his son, Cain and Abel, and all of his sons, that God would save. He would save a people out of this fallen race, because he gave to Adam and his sons a sacrifice. He told them to take a lamb, build an altar and slay that lamb and put its blood on the altar as a sacrifice for sin. Now he said, Abel did that. That's what you know about. But his brother Cain didn't. His brother Cain went out and got the fruits of the field, the labors, the fruits of his own labors. And he brought those things. He built a beautiful altar, and he brought those things and put them on the altar and said, God, this is my sacrifice. But he said, you see, without blood, there's no remission. Sin demands death. Sin demands judgment. Sin demands the shedding of blood. So God had no respect to Cain's offering, but he had respect to Abel's offering because of blood offering. Now he said, ladies, remember that. Here we have the announcement of the woman's seed by God in the garden. Here we have God himself demonstrating how he would cover man's nakedness and guilt in the garden. And here outside the garden, we have God illustrating to Abel and to you and the whole world that sin demands death, and sin demands blood, and sin demands a sacrifice. Now, you listen to me? I'm sure you say that to him. And then he said another illustration God gave. He said the wickedness of man was so great on the earth. He said God looked down from heaven and saw that every imagination of man's heart was evil continually. And God said, I'll destroy man off the face of the earth. I'll annihilate, I'll obliterate the whole human race, but I'm going to save a family. You see, ladies, what God is saying, that even though Adam fell, and even though Adam sinned, even though the whole human race sinned in him, God will have a people. Even though in the days of Noah they were wicked, every imagination of the heart of man evil, yet God will have a people. God will not leave himself without a people. So he had Noah build an ark. It took him 120 years. But a flood came and destroyed the world. But God kept alive Noah and his wife and his three sons and their three wives. You understand that? God has a purpose to redeem. Now he said, then God, the years passed, and God called out a man called Abraham. And their eyes went up, you know. They knew Abraham. They were Abraham's seed. They took great delight in being Abraham's seed. He said, God Almighty, you see, here the world was full of people again. And God was going to choose a people, a nation, through which he would send that Redeemer, that Messiah, that prophet, that priest like Melchizedek. But he's going to choose a people and going to choose them himself. So he called Abraham and his father were in idolatry. Abraham was 75 years old. And God came down and said, Abraham, get thee out of thy father's house and from thy people and go to the land I'll show thee and I'll make thee a great people. And I'll bless thee and I'll bless them that bless thee. And he said, God chose Abraham and Abraham's seed through which he would send the Messiah, through which he would send the Redeemer, through which he would preserve worship, to whom he'd send the prophets, to whom he'd give the oracles. You see, God's not going to just let this thing pass from general mouth to ear and mouth to ear. He's going to have a set nation. He's going to have a set people. Not the Philistines or the Babylonians or the Egyptians or the Amalekites or any of these fringe nations, the Medes and the Persians and all these. But God's going to have a people. Most of that nation did not believe God. Most of that nation perished in unbelief. But God's going to have a nation through which he would preserve his worship, his priesthood, his prophets, his word. It has to be that way. It can't be just turned over to the general public. It has to be a people. You following me? And he chose Israel. He said, I didn't choose you because you were most in all. You were the fewest of people. But I chose you because I would keep my promise. I will send a Redeemer. And he said, God raised up that nation. And that nation went down into Egypt. There were just 70 of them at that time. They went down into Egypt. They were led into Egypt by Jacob. Because there was corn there. His son Joseph was there. Of course, they're right with him now. They're picking up. And he said, he went down into Egypt, and they stayed there 400 years. And Pharaohs rose up that didn't know Joseph, and the people were brought under oppression and into slavery and bondage. But God will deliver his people. Now he said, ladies, here is where the pictures really come together. He said, God told Moses, after he sent these plagues, he said, I'm going to kill the firstborn in every home. He said, but you take a lamb, the first thing of the flock, on a certain day, without spot or blemish, a year old, and you set it apart for 4 days and observe it, and then on this certain day you kill it, and you roast it with fire and eat the body, and you put the blood on the door. Here we are with the blood again. Under the law, almost all things are purged by blood. Don't forget it. And he said, he put the blood on the door. And he called it the Lord's Passover. He said, I'll pass through the land of Egypt. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Now he said, ladies, that's saying something. And then they went out into the wilderness, and they were thirsty, and a rock followed them. And he said, Moses smote that rock, and water came out of it. And then he told them about the brazen serpent. And then he told them about the erection of the tabernacle. He said, that tent or tabernacle down in the midst of the camp. And he told them all about the four coverings, the badger skin and the goat's hair and the ram skin dyed red and the white linen and all these different pieces of furniture inside. And he said there was a priesthood. He said, you see, there was a holy place in which the priest ministered, and then there was a veil. They knew that. They nodded their head. And the priest went under the veil, and in that holy of holies was an ark. That's the ark. The ark. Over which the mercy seat, the beaten gold, in which was the broken law. And he said the priest went in, the high priest only, once a year with the blood, and put it on that mercy seat. But he said these sacrifices didn't put away sin because they kept offering them. He said if they'd put away sin, they would have ceased to be offered. Well, that makes sense to those ladies. They're listening. And then he said, Isaiah wrote. Isaiah wrote, he shall grow up as a root out of dry ground, a tender plant, despised it, and he was wounded for our transgression. He said, Jeremiah wrote, the Lord our righteousness. I just imagine he quoted this one here. Listen to this passage of Scripture here over in Jeremiah. Here it is. Behold, the days come, chapter 33. Saith the Lord, when I will perform that good thing that I promised to the house of Israel. All these promises, he said. God said, the days come and I'm going to fulfill the promise to the woman concerning her seed, the promise to Abel, the promise to Abraham, the promise to the priest, the promise to the people. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David. And he'll execute judgment and righteousness in the land. And in those days shall Judah be saved, saved, saved. And Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. I said, ladies, I'm here to tell you that Messiah has come. Don't you know they were aghast? I'm telling. Now he said, I didn't believe it. No, I didn't believe it. Not me. I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews concerning the law. I was righteous. And he said, I was a member of the Sanhedrin. I was on top of the ladder. And I didn't believe it. But ladies, let me tell you something. There's a man born in Bethlehem, Judea. Now he said, you know Micah, our prophet, said he'd be born in Bethlehem. And he said there was a star marked the place of his birth. And he said people came from other countries following that star, seeking him who was born King of the Jews. And he said that infant that was born in Bethlehem, his father and mother both were from the tribe of David, tribe of Judah, David's lineage and house. Just like it said, he's the son of David. The Messiah, ladies, is to be the son of David, and he's the son of David. He's the son of David, the rightful son of David. And he said, let me tell you something else. He said, Simeon, old Simeon was in the temple, and they brought this child Jesus in the temple, and the Holy Ghost had told Simeon that he would never die till he had seen the Lord Christ. And he said when they brought that child Jesus in there, this Joseph and Mary, that the Holy Ghost said to him, there he is. And he said Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God. And he said this man Jesus went about doing miracles only the Messiah can do. He said, ladies, the Old Testament said the Messiah, the blind would see, the lame would walk, the deaf would hear, and the dead would be raised. And this same Jesus did all those things. He raised a man who had been dead 4 days. He fed a multitude with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, ladies, he'd speak, and the ocean would lay down like a shepherd dog at his feet. He said, this man gave sight to blind men. He said, a man called Bartimaeus was sitting by the gate at Jericho, had been blind for 40 years. This man made him sick. There was a man by the pool of Bethesda that laid there 38 years, lame. He took up his bed and walked. He said, I didn't believe it. Believe me, I didn't believe it. He said, I thought he was another imposter. But he said, ladies, let me tell you something. I was trying to blot his name out. I was on my way to Damascus. I had papers in my pocket from the chief priest that would give me permission to haul into prison anybody believing in this Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, ladies, at noonday, when I was on that road, there was a bright light, brighter than the sun, smote me from my horse, and I fell on the ground, and I looked up, and I couldn't see for the brightness of that light. And I said, and a voice from heaven said, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I said, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth? Jesus of Nazareth? He said, ladies, they took this Jesus of Nazareth, arrested him and tried him, and put him on a cross. And he was buried, and on the third day he rose again. Now, let me tell you something, ladies. You see, now, as I go back through the Old Testament, I see how that Jesus of Nazareth is the fulfillment of all these promises and prophecies. He is the seed of woman. He was born of Mary, who was a virgin. And he said he is of the house and lineage of David. He's the tribe of Judah, family of Jesse. And this man, Jesus of Nazareth, John the Baptist, the forerunner, the last of the Old Testament prophets, said he's the Lamb of God. And he said the works that he did bear witness of him. And he said twice, on two occasions, the Father spoke from heaven like he spoke from heaven to me. And he said, this is my beloved Son. The voice of God from heaven said, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. And he said, not only that, but the Scriptures bear witness of him. You see, ladies, when they took that lamb at the Passover and slew it, Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that whole thing. He's the Lamb of God. He's the firstling of the flock, the firstborn of every creature. He's without spot or blemish. He was tried for 4 years right here on this earth, and he was slain on a cross. Christ is our Passover. He said that rock was smitten, and out of it came water. That rock is Christ. He said that tabernacle, if you'll think about that tabernacle in the wilderness, on the outside it looked like any other tent. But he said on the inside, the very glory, the Shekinah glory of God was revealed. You see that? Christ the carpenter appearing to men. But inside, the very glory of God Himself. And He is our righteousness. No one, He said, ladies, He was tried and no one could accuse Him of sin. He said, even Pilate at His trial said, I find no fault in Him. No one can find fault. The only way they got Him on trial was false witnesses rising up against Him. He went about doing good. And I'll tell you this, every word He said on that cross is recorded right there in your Bibles in Psalm 22. Ladies, I verily believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ. He is our Messiah. And He said, like I told you, on that road, He said, the light shone, and I said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And He said, I cry, well, Lord, what will you have me do? And He said, I was blind for 3 days. And I went down into a place on a street called Straight, and 3 days later, a man came in called Ananias. And he told me, Saul, God hath chosen thee that you might see the just one, that you might hear His word, that you might preach His gospel. And he said, ladies, the scale lifted from my eyes. And he said, I've gone forth preaching that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ. He is the Lord, our righteousness. He's that priest forever like Melchizedek. He's that rock. He's that brazen serpent. He's the fulfillment of everything. Now then, there was a lady sitting there. Look here, if you will, at Acts chapter 16. It says here in verse 14, and there was a certain woman named Lydia. A woman named Lydia. Tell you something about Lydia. Lydia was from Thyatira. That was the place where Paul was told not to go. That's right. Right there in the country where God told him, don't go there. If Lydia had not been in Philippi, she'd never heard the gospel. Lydia was an older woman. Lydia was a woman in a business. She prepared and sold purple, they called it. All the ladies knew about it. All the ladies were familiar with this purple which Lydia sold. And I believe Lydia was a widow. Her husband never mentioned. It's called her household. She invited Paul to her household. And she invited him to stay in her house. Her husband never mentioned. The conclusion I draw is this, that Lydia was a woman whose husband was dead, a woman who was in business, very successful businesswoman, had a household of servants and all that. That's you when back in those days, anybody that lived in your household, servants, employees, grown children, that's your house. It's called their house. And so she was there, but Lydia was a woman who was interested in God. She was interested in the living God. She was interested in the Word of God, like the Ethiopian eunuch. He'd been to Jerusalem to worship, and he hadn't heard anything, but he's on his way back home reading the Bible. And Lydia was a woman who lived in Philippi, who was an older woman, who had a household, who was in business, but on the Sabbath day she'd come down there by the river and she'd sit with that little group. She'd listen, hoping somebody would tell her something about God. Just hoping. Oh, just sit and wait, sit and wait, sit and wait. And that day God didn't leave her without a blessing. Old Paul came in and told him about the Lord. And you know what it says here? And it says she worshiped God and she heard what Paul said. She listened to what he said. She never took her eyes off him. She never took her ears away from what he was saying. I believe that Jesus is the Christ. God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, Lord and Christ. Paul said to her, Lydia, and to the rest of them, he's the fulfillment of every scripture promise. He's the fulfillment of every prophecy. He's the fulfillment of every pattern. He's the son of David. He's a priest forever. He's that prophet God raised up. He spoke the words of God. He performed miracles none but God could do. He died on a cross as a Passover lamb. He rose again. And he ascended back to heaven. And I saw him and I heard him. And he taught me the gospel. He said, ladies, I didn't go to somebody who was already an apostle before me and learn. God taught me the gospel. And I'm here to tell it to you. And he said, God opened her heart and she attended to the things which were spoken of Paul. You know, I learned some lessons from that. Let me give you just two or three. It was the good providence of God which brought her to Philippi. She was from Thyatira, but God brought her here. She was there by the purpose and providence of God on that Sabbath day. Tell you, who else was there by God's purpose and providence? Saul of Tarsus, Paul the Apostle. God brought them together. The preacher of the gospel and the sheep of Christ must meet somehow, somewhere. Have to. God might bring them all the way from Salt Lake City, Utah. He might bring them all the way from Huntington, West Virginia. He might bring them, Charlie, all the way from Garrett, Kentucky. But that sheep is going to cross the path of that preacher. Spurgeon said, if there be one elect soul whom God has predetermined to save by His grace, He'll bring him from the outstretched regions of Australia to hear the gospel of His blessed Son. God will shake heaven and earth to accomplish His purpose for His own. He may kill a son. He may kill a daughter. He may destroy a household. He may raise up a household. But His divine purpose will bring that person to that spot where Christ will be preached to him. The Christ of the Bible. Not a false Christ. The Christ. And this woman, Lydia, was brought from Thyatira to sit there while this man, earnest, God called, looked her in the eye and told her, He is the Christ. He is the Christ. There's something else I learned. The grace of God prepared her soul to receive the truth of grace. She didn't walk in there off the street. She had been seeking the Lord for a long time. Some of you were raised in religion. Religion without Christ. She was raised in religion without Christ.
You think, well, you say, well, shoot, I was in all this fundamental religion back there years ago and so forth like that, and I didn't know anything.
But now, wait a minute. Some of you were pretty sincere in those days. I can tell you I was. I wasn't playing games. I didn't know God, but I wanted to. Didn't you? Well, sure. Lydia didn't know Christ, but she wanted to. That's what she's doing now. That's what she's doing. Bring your children to the place. Seat them out there. Bring your friends. Find somebody interested.
This woman didn't know Christ. She didn't understand the gospel, but she was aware of God. And she was aware that God was to be worshipped. And she, no doubt, was acquainted with the Scriptures. She probably heard of the Messiah to come. And that was all grace preparing for grace. And then watch this. Her conversion resulted from what? The preaching of the Word.
Paul didn't come in there with a bunch of singers. Paul didn't come in there with a pack of pew knives. Paul didn't come in there telling them, now y'all need to build a synagogue and put a steeple on it. You ain't going to go, nobody going to find you down here by the river. Nobody going to find you down. You've got to get up in town. He didn't come in there with that trash. He came in there and sat down and told them about Jesus. Paul, you know, Paul's not like some of us big shot preachers. He could preach by the riverside in a tent. There wasn't 10 women there, I'll bet you. Because 12 made up a synagogue.
But he had a little handful. And here this great man, this servant of God, sat there on that seat for hours and told them about Christ. Perfectly content. While the military city rolled on in the background. But he didn't tell them about Christ. Happy. And I tell you something else. And I'll tell you this. He preached Christ to her. But it says here, one of the key verses, it said, God opened her heart. I don't know whether any of the other women paid any attention to him, but Lydia did. God opened her heart. And she attended to the things which Paul had spoken. You know what she did, verse 15? She was baptized.
But now, I know this, and you do too. And I'm going to keep preaching wherever God let me. You saw my schedule in the bulletin there, and I'll be on the road a lot. But I'm looking for his sheep. Some of our fellows out tonight, and the rest of them will be out next Sunday again. But we're looking for the sheep. We're going to go preach. Wherever anybody will sit and listen, we're going to sit and preach. I'll be back. Sit and preach to them. We're looking for the sheep. And this woman heard, because God opened her heart. God opened her heart. I see this. She wasn't going to argue with Paul. God opened her heart. She believed him. And she followed the Lord in baptism. Now watch this.
And she said, you know what she did? She took him home with her. Because it said she was baptized in her household. You know what she did?
I know this what took place. She said, come on, you go in my house. You're going to tell my household about this Christ. This is the greatest news I've ever heard. She's about to jump a rope, you know. She said, let's go to the house. So he went to the house and preached. He was there several days. He went to the house and preached. And more of them were converted. God did a work in that house. Don't despise the day of small things.
Don't despise the day of small things. Minister to the few. And maybe one will say, come home with me. Come home with me and preach that gospel. And then what she said to him was this. Now, if you judge me to be faithful, verse 16,
come into my house and live here. I tell you this. She generously opened her house to Paul. God opened her heart. She opened her house. She said, what's mine's yours. What's mine's yours. And that's what happens when God opens a person's heart. When God opens a person's heart to attend unto the word preached, to the revelation of Christ. And they receive that message and fall in love with Christ. They confess him, follow him in baptism. And they'll be evangelical. They want their household to hear. Want everybody to hear. And then they'll say, like Richard prayed a while ago, it's not mine, it's his.
She said to him, said, Paul, just live here. Just stay right here and live. But he did for a while. It says she constrained him. She just insisted. You're going to live here. You're going to eat here. And whatever's mine's yours. It's yours. Because I love that Christ you preached to me. Our Father, thank you for your word. We say again how blessed we are. Oh, how blessed we are. How blessed we are. Like Lydia of old, you've opened our hearts and we've attended unto the things which you've spoken. And we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We believe in His holy name. We trust His holy name. We call upon His holy name. We rest in His holy name. He is our Lord and Master, our hope of eternal life. We love Him and trust Him and believe Him. And thank you for your sovereign providence and purpose and grace that brought us to sit down and hear the gospel. And it brought to us your messenger to tell the truth about this book and the truth about our sins and the truth about your glory and the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful. And how we pray that tonight's message will be blessed and used of your Spirit to bring somebody like Lydia of old to say, I believe Jesus is the Christ. I look for no other. In His name we pray. Amen.